Now, we'll stay with federal politics because we also have the Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion that's been hearing evidence this week on how hate is being fuelled by social media activity. Yesterday, Jewish Labor MP Josh Burns told hearings in Sydney that he's been targeted in dozens of social media posts, some directed at his family. Julian Lisa is the Shadow Minister for Education and for Indigenous Australians. He joined me a short time ago. Julian Lisa, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Melissa. Good to be with you.
As a Jewish member of Parliament, can you tell me about your experience of anti-Semitism on social media?
Look, I think anti-Semitism on social media has got much worse. It's got actually worse since Bondi. But let me tell you something of my personal story. My family's been in Australia since the 1840s. My great-grandfather was at Gallipoli in the charge of the Light Horse in Beersheba as part of the Australian Forces. My grandfather was at a prisoner of war at Changi and was on the Burma Railway. And yet, on social media, I'm called a traitor and a Mossad agent, and graphic and sexual imagery is used about me because I'm a Jew of the sort that I will not repeat on your program. I love this country. I want my children to enjoy the sort of Australia I enjoyed growing up, where it doesn't matter what their religion is, where the country their parents were born in, that if they want to contribute, there's a place for them there. And I think what's happening on social media is just terrible. And I'm a public figure. To some extent, you expect criticism, but the level of anti-Semitism is off the charts. And the tragedy is it's not just for me, it's for ordinary Jewish people in this country who live quiet lives, not in the public eye.
And there's a very big difference between criticism of political actions and anti-Semitism and the sort of abuse you're describing. Have you tried reporting them to the social media platforms? Tell me about what this experience is like. Is it helpful?
Yes. So we block accounts in my office from time to time. I think we've blocked, my staff told me, about 650 accounts in the last couple of years. And we report matters to the social media companies. And sometimes they do things to restrict words. But these activists who are engaging in this conduct online, they just change the word. So instead of talking about Jews, they'll talk about juice, or they'll spell Jews J-O-O-S. Or the goalposts keep shifting. And I just think the social media companies need to step up and do more here. It's clear to me that people get away on social media with the sort of things that you'd never be able to say to a person face-to-face, and I think that's wrong in principle.
Can the federal government do more to compel social media companies, or are you saying this is a moral argument for the social companies to step up and do more within the current framework that we have?
Well, I think the social media companies are more than on notice about this now, and I think this is one of the issues that the Royal Commission is looking at, and I think we need to look at the recommendations that come out of the Royal Commission. But Australia has been world-leading in relation to dealing with the social media companies, whether it's the media bargaining code that we implemented when we were in government, or it's the social media ban. The basic principle is that the social media company should not be above the law, and the law that applies to other people should apply to them.
One of your parliamentary colleagues, Mark Dreyfus, Labor MP for the seat of Isaacs, has likewise given evidence to the Royal Commission, and he says that he thinks that hate speech laws should be strengthened and an offence created so that it doesn't require an element of violence or threatening force for it to be a hate speech offence. What's your view on that?
Well, I think we need to see what the Royal Commission recommends in relation to this. I mean, Mr. Dreyfus was the Attorney General while a lot of this bad stuff was happening, and I was very critical of his performance as Attorney General for failing to take stronger action to deal with agencies in his own portfolio, like the Human Rights Commission, and like toughening the criminal law where he was there. But on these hate speech laws, I think you've got to weigh those issues against broader freedom of speech concerns, and I'd like to see what the Royal Commission recommends.
Toughening hate speech laws has been a difficult issue for the Liberal Party. There are various views about whether or not that should happen. Is that partly why you're reluctant to express a position at this point?
Well, I think you have to look at the particularity of the law. I mean, all of these laws require balancing acts. I mean, I was a strong proponent, unlike many in my party, of maintaining Section 18C and 18D of the Racial Discrimination Act, when others thought that we should remove those sections. And I think history has demonstrated the correctness of that, of the position that I held, because for a long time it was only those sections which were used by the Jewish community to bring prosecutions against hate breaches when the federal authorities were failing to take action to bring them to heed. So there is a place for hate speech laws in our country, for anti-vilification laws, but you must get the balance right, and I don't want to comment on law whose drafting I hadn't seen.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest is the Shadow Minister for Education, Julian Lisa. I just want to ask you about gambling reforms. This is something the government has is putting forward to the federal parliament, its gambling advertising restrictions that it has outlined, that it has come under some criticism for not being strong enough or not being close enough to the recommendations of the Murphy report. The coalition has long called for greater restrictions on gambling advertising. Where do you stand on the extent to which Labor has sought to put limits on advertising? Do you think that they have gone far enough with this bill?
Whenever my colleagues and I talk about gambling restrictions, it's always on the basis that we want to protect children and families that are enjoying sport. Sport is family time, and it's time that across the generations people enjoy games. You know, in my house, everyone got up and watched the Socceroos in the game against Paraguay. In other places, it's the AFL or the NRL. That shouldn't be interrupted by gambling. And, you know, sometimes gambling, particularly online gambling, can destroy lives. So it's important that we do restrict some of this behaviour. And I know we'll be looking at those laws closely.
You don't have a view at this point as to whether they go far enough when it comes to television and radio advertising restrictions, for example?
Look, I'm the Shadow Minister for Education, the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, so I'm not going to tell you I've looked at those laws closely, but the basic principle that I'm outlining there is we want sport to be about families. We don't want it to be about addicting children and young people to gambling.
Can I ask, when we spoke to the Green spokesperson, Sarah Hanson-Young, on this yesterday, she said if you want to look after kids, you have to make sure their parents aren't gambling addicts. And that means you need to be really strong on all aspects, because to protect children isn't just about them viewing the ads. It's about making sure the environment they live in isn't affected by the people around them gambling. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Look, I mean, I think children are much better off when parents spend their money on essential services and getting them to school, making sure they're properly fed and the like, rather than on gambling. And people who are addicted to gambling, they can destroy a family's budget that was otherwise set aside for a child's education and a child's basic needs. So in principle, I've some sympathy for that view.
Julian Lisa, thanks very much for speaking to me this morning on Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Melissa.